Well, hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid with your dad in his souped-up 1993 Honda Civic with neon lights and NAS tanks?
Scoo-wee, I do!
The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you were going to take home with you. Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house. But there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and taking it home with you. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, two guys that remind me that family's the most important thing there is.
All right.
Sean Pryor and AJ Venz. How the heck are you?
That was subtly sweet this time around opposed to last episode.
He's like, these are my idiot friends.
We are literally accompanied by a box of, what is this, 12-pack of Coronas?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can.
Ooh. Oh, that's real nice. I was trying to do that earlier. Dude, watch out, you're spilling.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, we are so, so delighted to have you here with us today. If you're new to the podcast, you are at the beginning of an episode where we take a classic movie that you loved from childhood and give you every single bit of information you could ever need about the movie while dissecting it scene by scene. So stay tuned for all the fun. But before we get started, we got some few back end stuff to take
care of. We really do.
It's time. Here we go. Review time.
Review time.
This one's from Torbert 14. It's entitled, Hey, you guys!
Yeah, what's that from?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
Is that Stand By Me?
I think
so. So this one Monster goes Spot. A little bit like
That's
this. It. I listened to two things during work, Howard Stern and this podcast.
Wow.
The memories you have brought back to me are amazing. Have so many movies I wish you would do. Iron Eagle, Masters of the Universe, most insane 80s movie ever.
Wow.
Just One of the Boys, which is a classic William Zabka bad guy movie, and so many more. Keep it up, and thanks for everything, Chris Norbert.
Damn,
to be compared to Howard Stern, do you know how much of an honor that is? I love the Howard Stern show.
Do your best on Howard Stern right now.
If I could burp, I was going to burp.
Oh.
That was going to be my Howard Stern impression because he burps a lot on air. I can't. I love Howard Stern, and the fact that you think we are similar to him for consuming your time means a lot.
That's
pretty
man.
Good company to be in, so I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, SiriusXM, let's go. Let's go.
This is only year one of a 57-year career that we have ahead of us, so we're ready to go.
Yeah.
And that was on the Apple Podcast app. We also got a Facebook review here from Jordan Hooten. He says, these guys are an absolute blast to listen to while they dissect classic movies. Feels like you're hanging out with your movie-loving friends on the weekend and tearing apart your favorite movies with love. I like that.
Hell yeah.
Tearing apart favorite movies with love. To be honest, their review of Three Ninjas was too kind. Loved it as a kid, but calling it a dumpster fire is an insult to dumpsters and fires. Keep up the great work, guys. That is a fantastic review.
Damn, Jordan Hooten. All right. I mean, hey, send all your mail to Jordan Hooten.
It wasn't us that did the bad things about Three Ninjas. It was Jordan Hooten.
Yeah.
Damn. So, thanks for the reviews, everybody. You can also call and leave us a voicemail. We got a great backlog of voicemails right now. We're trying to play one every episode. The number is 319-804-9596. Let's listen to today's message.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I've been following you on TikTok for about a week now.
Cool.
Didn't realize it was a podcast.
Oh, right on.
The episode. And goddamn, I just got to say, I love you guys' show. And I found out you guys are from Iowa.
Yeah.
One of the episodes, I'm also from Iowa.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That makes me want to listen even more. But you guys should do a video podcast next, because I love all your little clips. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Dude, thank you.
Fellow Iowans, isn't that weird that someone found us on the internet that just had no clue who we were, nor that we were at Iowa?
Yeah, that is really
nice shot.
Weird.
Nice.
We're playing some bottle caps in here.
Bottle caps.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I wonder where you're from. Come hang out. Come to Cedar Ridge. Let's fucking have some whiskey or something.
Dude.
He said he wants video clips. We are eventually going to get to the YouTube videos of recording these episodes, but we're also hopefully planning sometime this fall or the spring, we're going to start trying to do some maybe live in-person episodes. So if anybody wants to do that, we're going to have some very much fun with that.
Let us know if you want to do an in-person. Watch us do this
Can
live.
We come to your house and do it, please?
Yeah.
We're gonna do this live, and we're going to be even funnier. I guarantee it.
And last but not least, one final way to support the podcast before we dive in. We got a Patreon. We got a ton of amazing perks over there. Show your support for the show. You can vote on upcoming movie topics, access weekly episodes that are just for Patreon members. There is currently up to, if not more than, 7 hours now of extra audio.
Wow.
Just waiting for you there at patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. We got a few. We always like to name a few. You know, that's one of the perks. So here's some of the OG supporters. Dane, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Keir Lana, Big Big Andy, Bud Larson, Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker.
You truly are.
You guys were the first of the first. There's a long list of names. We're going to name the rest later, but I don't think we should waste any more time.
No.
I agree.
I want to hear those names, but I also want to hear what's coming next.
Here we go. It is time to introduce today's movie. On this episode, we're going to discuss one of the biggest movie franchises in history. The original movie from a 9-movie franchise with a 2-part 10th movie coming out
Friday
in
the
2023. Lord of the Rings. This franchise is the 7th highest grossing film series in history with a combined gross of over $6 billion.
Pretty nasty.
This movie taught us the phrase 10-second car and let us know that family's a pretty big damn deal. Our first review of a movie in the early 2000s. We've been saying
We're doing it.
We finally got there. We are, of course, talking about 2001, Fast and the Furious. And for those of you looking to get a refresher on the movie quick, feel free to pause, check out the Fast and the Furious OG. I believe it is on HBO Max as
it
well
sure is.
As the last couple movies we've done. So
that's where I found it. I wish I would have found Point Break on there instead of spending extra money on Amazon Prime.
There it is. Okay.
Sorry, bud. Point Break was definitely
you can
on
also,
there.
You can Shit. Also watch the new Fast and the Furious on there right now, too, just so you know.
Oh. 9?
Yeah.
I'm totally going to watch this when I go home.
It's ridiculous.
All right, so we're going to get moving along. First segment we always like to do is Sean gets us kind of the pertinent, important background info on the movie to set the stage. What do you got, Seaners?
First of all, I hope that the 10th one, and this isn't my joke, but it's fucking brilliant. It should be called Fast 10, Your Seatbelts.
Fuck.
What the fuck did you just say?
No, get it? It's the 10th one. Fast 10, Your Seatbelts.
Stop it.
Yeah.
No, do not stop that.
It's not my joke, but
that is awesome.
If it's not called that, I'm done. I'm not even seeing it. I don't give a fuck about it. Okay.
All right.
Produced by Neil Moritz, written by Gary Scott Thompson, Eric Berquist, and David Ayer. Cinematography by Erickson Kaur, directed by Rob Cohen. Starring Paul Walker, rest in peace, Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster, Rick Yoon, Chad Lindberg, Johnny Strong, Matt Schulze, Ted Levine, and Ja Rule.
Oh.
Rob Cohen first came up with the idea for Fast. Rob Cohen first came up with the idea for Fast while he was introduced to illegal racing in Los Angeles and reading an article in Vibe magazine called Racer X about street racing in New York. The film was originally going to be called Redline, but Roger Corman signed over the rights to use the Fast and the Furious from the 1954 film. Roger Corman's a huge filmmaker in the kind of like the schlock 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s eras. One of them was Death Race, and so he's done car movies before, and he signed over the rights for that title to be
car used. Movies with bald guys?
Yep.
Cool.
All of them. David Ayer was brought in. David Ayer was brought in to touch up the script, changing it from mostly white and suburban story to a more diverse one set in LA.
Okay.
So before he came in, it was more just like kind of cookie cutter, probably like, you know, John McClane, Die Hard, mostly white people involved kind of thing.
Should be on Disney Channel.
Honestly, yeah. And, you know, easily consumable for the stupid public out there.
Kids wearing Skechers and shit.
Exactly.
Okay.
Fucking stupid. Eminem, Mark Wahlberg, and Christian Bale were all considered for the role of Brian O'Connor, but one of the producers saw Paul Walker in the film Skulls.
Oh, damn, really?
Yeah.
I forgot all about Skulls.
Gave the script to him to read, so it kind of just landed on his lap pretty much.
Hey, this is just for reference for me later on. Let's do Skulls.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Right. Just checking.
Producers originally wanted Timothy Oliphant to play the role of Dom Toretto, but they realized he was in Gone in 60 Seconds just a year prior, so Vin Diesel was cast. The role of Mia Toretto was written for Eliza Dushku, but she turned it down.
Wow.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Jessica Biel, Kirsten Dunst, and Natalie Portman auditioned for the role of Jordana Brewster. Auditioned for the role, but Jordana Brewster ultimately
won
out.
Right.
The film was shot all around parts of Southern California. Released on June 22nd in 2001 and was number one in the box office, earning $40 million in its opening weekend. Ultimately, the film would gross $270 million worldwide on a $38 million budget.
Unbelievable.
And that is all I have.
Dude, real quick on Vin Diesel, if you think back to that time, this is 2001, he had been in a few things. He was in Saving Private Ryan, but I don't remember. But what I remember him from was Boiler Room.
Yeah.
And then Pitch Black. Pitch Black was a crazy movie for me.
That was before Fast and the Furious?
Dude, 2000. Both those movies were in 2000. And I remember just thinking, this dude is the biggest badass, especially in Pitch Black.
Yeah.
He was such a badass. And then he goes and does this role, and you're like, this dude's on a rise. I mean, he's gold at this point, no matter what he does, man.
Yeah, I think I probably backtracked. I went Fast and the Furious then.
You probably did. Oh, man, that actually Pitch Black would be a fun one.
I was just going to go on record and say I want to do
our boy, what's his name from Days Confused is in that, too.
From Yellowstone.
Cole Hauser's kind of like,
you're like, oh, is he from Days Confused?
Mm-hmm. Dude. Yeah.
Wow. All right, you're on record.
You got it.
Let's go.
All right, so next segment, we like to give the audience just a little insight into what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it. This is not a nostalgia necessarily based podcast. We like to take that in consideration.
Yeah.
But then we like to give you that real world rating, which we will do after this. But first, we got to talk about childhood. AJ, what do you remember about the first time you saw this? What's your rating of this movie?
The first time I saw this. So there was a lot of hype. I had like a lot of friends who like saw this in theaters.
Hell yeah.
And they were like, oh man. And like you had them like running around and like quoting like Dom and Paul Walker. And
I'm in your face.
Or else they'll be like, I live my life a quarter mile at a time. It's like, dude, you don't drive. Like, you know, so it's like your big wheel doesn't count, you know? So I don't know. It's just like. Like, there's, like, people are, like, writing it on their, like, action planner and shit, you know?
You live your life a quarter block at a time.
Yeah, a quarter block at a time. It's just like, all right, calm down. All right, just put your sleeves back on your shirt. So, I don't know. It's just, like kids my age at the time, like, taking it way too seriously and, like, thinking that they're going to have, like, really cool fucking cars or some shit. Like, it doesn't cost, like, millions of dollars. I don't know. I remember finally seeing it on DVD, I think at my cousin's house, to be honest. Like, and I remember watching it, and I did kind of become enthralled with it, too, a little bit.
You started quoting it?
Yeah, I was like, this is super cool. But, like, at the same time, I was also jaded a little bit, you know? So, I don't know. When I saw it, I was still pretty hyped on it. The action's good. This is definitely somebody asked us about like awakening moments in movies. And you're kind of like, yeah, this is kind of an awakening, like sexually awakening movie. So I'm going to go ahead and just I'm going to give it a leg up here. Comparison to last week, I'm going to give this a 7.1.
Nice. What about you, Shauners?
This is definitely, I saw it in the theaters, and and my friend Jordan, this is the same person I saw Point Break with on VHS. His grandma took us to the theater to watch this. We were super fans of Vin Diesel, even though we'd never seen him before in our entire lives. We just loved action, and we loved the music, which will be different this time around. we loved everything about it. Just like it's just like such an exciting, especially movie or movie theater movie to see, and that's why these movies have lasted nine so far. But I would say back then, I would probably just give it just because I liked movies. I'm like, this is probably a little bit more up there, 6.9 or so.
So just under what you thought Point Break was from back in the day.
Definitely.
I'm pretty sure I went and saw this in the theater. I think it was like a date movie, actually.
Nice.
And it's like the perfect movie.
Great
for
date
that.
Movie.
I mean, just.
Oh my God. Yes.
There's no, you don't have any risk of crying at all in front of your girl.
No.
I mean, it's just a great date movie. There's energy in the theater kind of a thing. I was way into this. I was kind of into like techno a little bit back then too. So again, the music was fucking awesome.
There you go.
Like it may change again as upon further rewatch.
Did your pants match the aesthetic of the music, Mike?
I probably had Adidas pants on with like a Kangol hat at this point.
Oh, you weren't New Era committed?
No. I was Kangol. Okay. I was still in the new metal phase of my life. You know. No big deal, guys.
Okay.
I did buy an Adidas rain jacket once.
You got laid that night then?
Probably not.
Sweet.
Plenty of testosterone racing through this movie for you. Probably leaving her moister than the oyster.
No, I left all my testosterone in the theater, baby.
Gross, dude.
I didn't have anything left. No, but I really did. I was all in on this franchise until I saw the second one. And then I was like, what the fuck is the second one all about?
Yeah.
So I was ready for the ride. I was like, let's do this forever. And then the second one came out. But this one's probably 7.5 for me as a first time viewer.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
All right, so before we get into this full film review, AJ does some research for us. He hooks us up with the ratings, reviews, critical, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, all that stuff to set the tone of what people thought about this movie. AJ, what do you think, man? What do you got?
So I've got us ready to rock on the tomato meter.
Tomato meter!
We're not doing that on this one.
No, we didn't do that this time, guys. I'm too cool. Family.
Onward.
Okay.
You can have whatever you want as long as it's a Corona.
Yeah, as long as it's a Corona.
Is your sister named Corona?
Got him.
How long were you waiting on that
one? All right, a little bit.
54% on the tomato meter, guys. That's critical reviews. 154 critical reviews on this movie in comparison.
I thought that's what you were going to say the fan score was. 154.
AJ, can't be that good.
Good. Sorry.
No, it's the greatest movie ever made.
God, I wish.
Keep going.
We're in the 90s on IMDb right now.
154 reviews. in comparison to Point Break, which I think had like 63 critical reviews, so
right.
Maybe it's just stepping up in that 10-year difference. But 74% was the audience score, not 154%. 74%, which leaves us with IMDb
7.1.
Sean,
I'm gonna go 7.7.
6.8.
Damn, okay.
All right.
So just for reference, these are all lower scores than Point Break was.
Yes.
Overall, across the board. Just for reference.
Okay, just for reference. There's no assimilation between them.
No, nothing. No relation to these two movies.
Okay,
nothing
similar. Okay, cool. So Metascore is 58 out of 100 on here. And so we go into the critical reviews. Entertainment Weekly works hard to be exciting, but the movie scarcely lives up to its title. It could have used a bit of a fuel injection itself.
Oh.
Got him.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Car talk, right? We'll get there.
Maybe a nitrous, you know, no big deal.
Our boy Raj was here, though, too, for this.
You know he was. He can't stay out of this.
No, not at all. I'm going to give you some pretty good excerpts from this, I guess. The Fast and the Furious remembers summer movies from the days when they were produced by American International and played in drive-ins on double features. It doesn't have a brain in its head, but it has some great chase scenes and includes the most incompetent cop who ever went undercover. Well,
I mean,
we've been there. Okay. The Fast and the Furious is not a great movie, but it delivers what it promises to deliver and knows that a chase scene is supposed to be about something more than special effects.
Okay.
I had to mention this one before I get to somebody that we all know and love.
Oh, cool.
Okay. By the way, spoilers from IMDb.
No.
No, dude.
I'm just going to read you kind of the first paragraph of this. It's a little bit longer, but that's fine. This movie is about a hip-hop cop who infiltrates a street racing gang that hijacks trucks for fun. You've got to see the hijacking to believe it. these idiots tear up stuff worth much more than whatever it is in the truck.
That's actually really true.
From the very beginning, it's hard to believe that this Walker dude is a police officer. He acts like a teenager. The only thing missing is those baggy pants that you can get lost in.
JNCOs.
Yes. He's got the accent and everything right. But this gang leader guy, Diesel Tornado, is also a tough hip-hop punk. So they get along quite well. And the way Tornado's girlfriend acts makes me wonder if she's really a girl or an undercover guy.
Jeez. Confused she Breakfast does not endorse anything.
Does not endorse anything. Skipping along. Somebody tell me why a quarter-mile race lasts a few minutes with 10-second cars. Oh, and the last guy to hit the tiny little red button on the steering wheel wins. If you read some of the other reviews, you'll probably notice that every second one says it's a clone of Point Break.
There it is. I fucking love this guy, man. All right.
Pretty solid shit, right? Last is from, we haven't heard from him in a while.
Oh, is this Eric?
Eric's reviews.
Yes!
Oh, man.
Someday.
So I'll give you some excerpts here. The Fast and the Furious is not shy about pandering to its target demographic of wound-up adolescent males. It's a dumb movie, to be sure, about the glamorous world of guys who soup up their cars and race them on the streets of Los Angeles, and then occasionally use their driving expertise to hijack delivery trucks full of DVD players.
VCRs. They're VCR They're players, VCRs. By the way.
You can almost hear the writer saying, okay, the screenwriting book says we should have stuff like this in our script, so here you go. Now let's go ride in some more cars. This movie is the guy at the party who, no matter what the conversation is really about, can always twist it around to be about cars again. It's a loud, pointless movie, but it performs its loud pointlessness pretty well.
Hell yeah.
The most you can hope for in a movie like this is that it won't be annoying, and sure enough, it isn't.
All right, yeah. Dude, that's great.
Okay, is it Eric's angry movie reviews?
Eric's
or?
Bad reviews or Eric D. Snyder's, like, yeah.
Whoever reviews. You are, please contact us whenever yeah. you hear this. Someone please link us please. To him because we need to talk to you.
Yeah, dude.
All right, well, we're going to do this movie scene by scene, but first, a word from our sponsors. Oh
yeah.
So I wanted to break down the fourth wall for you guys, let you know how I personally prepare for this episode. When I sit down and rewatch these classic movies, I always have three things with me. My cat in my lap, my notepad, and a glass of whiskey. The whiskey is probably the most important thing here because all these classic movies are so warm and nostalgic. Even 2001, mm-hmm. I'm like thinking, man, remember those days? Wow.
Yeah.
That's why we love these movies. That's why we celebrate them here. Whiskey does the exact same thing to me. It enhances the nostalgia and the warmness, you know. I know you guys all well enough to know you're wondering what type of whiskey.
What type of whiskey?
Well, I will tell you, being from Iowa, there's only one choice for all things whiskey, and that is Cedar Ridge. Distillery.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
That's what you thought I was going to say.
I figured.
From their flagship bourbon, quintessential American single malt, and even their collaboration with Slipknot.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You cannot go wrong with this Midwestern staple. All of our local fans likely already know about the number one selling bourbon in the state of Iowa, but some of our listeners from the rest of the country maybe haven't heard of them yet. That's all good, but it's about to change since Cedar Ridge is growing and expanding like crazy, especially after winning Distillery of the Year in 2017. So it makes complete sense that one of the fastest growing podcasts in the universe is working with one of the fastest growing whiskey companies in the universe.
In the universe.
In the multiverse. Get it?
Ooh.
Ooh.
So please visit CedarRidgeWhiskey.com. Enjoy responsibly. Order some whiskey to your doorstep. Go pick some up. If you own a restaurant or bar, beg them to get it there.
Totally.
And tell us all about it. Tell us how much you love it, because we truly do love this whiskey, and we know you're not going to be disappointed. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
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 Well, boys, what do you say we pool our money together and buy a car with a cool air intake, NAS fogger system, T4 turbo with an AIC controller, direct port nitrous injection, and a standalone fuel management system, and then we can wager that pink slip in an illegal winner-take-all race to prove that family and respect are more important than money.
Hell yeah, yeah, Einstein, let's do this.
Here we go. On a deserted highway, a heist crew of cars assaults a semi-truck and steals its cargo. The following day, undercover LAPD officer Brian O'Connor is trying to infiltrate the street racing world. He begins his investigation at Toretto's Market and flirts with its owner, Mia, sister of infamous street racer Dominic Toretto. Dominic's crew, Vince, Leon, Jesse, and Letty arrive. Vince, who has a crush on Mia, starts a fight with Brian until Dominic intervenes.
How about this credit intro?
Damn.
For an intro. Is this not Mortal Kombat to you?
I mean, it's immediate loud noises. immediate techno loud noises to start this movie off.
This is like, okay, 2001, we've really got to step up our graphics game, okay? So here's what we're going to do, all right? All right. We're going to zoom it in. We're going to fly it in from one side. And then we're going to flip it around, and then people have to read it backwards. All right? And then we're going to flip it around again, and it'll be full sight. Fast and the Furious. How's it sound?
Wait, what movie is this?
It's a Fast... Damn it!
I can't read it. It's upside down.
Dang it.
Damn it. I mean, but it's... As an intro, like, this is about as action-packed as you get.
It really is.
I mean, to start you off, it gets your attention, but it's also like... kind of funny because you're like, wait, are those like mini TVs and VCRs? Like, how much, what is this all worth here?
Dude, like, I don't care what year it is. Those TV combos with the fucking VCRs in there, it's not worth.
That's not
a high dollar haul.
I have one collecting dust on my amp at home right now.
But yeah. If you get 10,000 of those,
okay,
and then you unload those, think how much money you're going to make.
So if you just Alibaba these fucker things, that's what you do. Okay, I got it. This dude's playing a joke of, hey, I got a big haul coming your way. Look for Rogers on the side. Who's Roger? One.
Yeah.
But Roger's playing a joke on these guys. Those things are not worth that much.
No. And I don't think they even work. I think they're probably like decommissioned VCRs.
Right.
Like
they're refurbed.
Yeah, just taken from various blockbusters around the world.
And you know what they never, ever address is like, what happens then? Like, where does this semi go?
Right.
And then what happens to all the VCRs?
I do kind of like that, though, to be honest. But I will say the praises of this scene, I do like the truck going or like coming into frame, and then the cars coming into frame as well. It's like, oh, there's threats, you know. And then it kind of goes to their hijacking or whatever. But I kind of like it doesn't resolve.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not what I'll say at the end at all. But I don't know what it is about it, but it's just like, I don't think we need that because I think we gather that from next scenes coming up.
Well, even this fucker on the docks, like, who is he and where did he go? Yeah. Why is he never there again?
Right.
Where did he go?
He was in on it. Don't forget about my cut. And it's like, but
we did forget about your cut.
Yeah, they totally did. we forgot about that guy like literally 2 seconds later. So I don't know.
And then we get to see these beautiful black cars with green neon, which I'm thinking about doing to my truck.
Which color car were you guys when you were kids? Which one did you like the best?
Which
huh?
Power Ranger were you?
Exactly.
I liked the black cars with the green neon. Yeah? I didn't like their weird flashy ones.
No? Okay.
So I've never been the flashy car cars? Guy. I didn't like their personal cars.
Yeah. So Mike was a Black Ranger. Which one are you then?
I was definitely... Definitely. I mean, towards the end. I mean, at the
you
end.
Like the Jetta, didn't you?
I am no.
I'm an
orange man at the end.
Okay,
but with these cars, I was the
like
one.
Trump.
Yeah.
we don't do that here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was the. I think I was a green guy. I think I was green.
Yeah, you like the green one.
Yeah.
All right.
The green Ranger.
Definitely.
I liked Leon's Skyline.
Okay.
Because it was the steering wheel was on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
Every time I saw it, I'm just like, why is he sitting in the passenger seat when I was a kid? But it's like, you find out, it's like, oh, no, it's that's That he's on the other side.
He took a mailman truck and turned it into a racing car.
Correct. That's essentially what he did.
Mailman.
Yes, a mailman.
So here comes the tropiest, tropey, trope thing that I hate the most about this movie is that, like, when Brian goes to the sandwich shop.
Metropolis.
Thing, the Toretto's.
Like apparently they own a market.
That's it. Okay. So he goes and sees Jordana Brewster. I don't even know her name in this movie.
Mia.
Toretto, and it's cool to have like the light, the like Godfather lighting in the background on Vin Diesel.
Yep.
Dominic Toretto, that's his name.
Dominic Tornado.
It's Bodie. I don't know.
Right.
But it's kind of cool. But then you have their friends pull up and everything, and it's the guy who is the guy.
So that is Vince.
Mike Schulze. I think that's what his name is as an actor.
Damn.
Vince comes up and he's the most tropey, like, is a new guy here? Why does he keep coming around? And he's like just walking, like he's got his arms sticking out. And he's walking chest first, not dick first, like a cool guy would.
Correct, yeah.
You know, and he's just like all confrontational all the time.
Yeah.
It pisses me the fuck off. And I know it's there to do that for a reason.
Yes.
But they're fighting over tuna.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're fighting over tuna.
Well,
you get it? You see what he's saying there?
He did. Stop it.
Wink, wink.
Stop it.
Wink, wink.
Hey.
All right.
I know it's hot in there, but.
All right.
The fish
all
under
right.
the sea dance.
Hey.
Chicken of the sea.
What?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Keep going.
All right. Well.
Then what's tuna? Sorry.
Well, okay. Well, the tuna sandwich. I'll go there with no crust. He orders it like an 8-year-old or something. First off, and I think that's annoying to anybody, to be honest. It's like, it's not even that, it's like, no, like very few people order a tuna sandwich about anywhere they go. People don't hardly get that at Subway.
No.
But like to order it there and then have the audacity to say no crust, like you're fucking cool, is just upsetting.
Like obviously tuna sandwich is probably the easiest thing to make there.
Yeah.
And then to just add on, how about no crust? It's like
what an inconvenience.
All right. So the scoop of tuna just going to slap on this bread, and that should be it. And you're like, no, I have to cut off the tuna. I have to cut off the crust for you, you fucking asshole.
I don't understand, too. Like, why couldn't they have just done this somewhere? Like, why do they have to own a market?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And, like, why there's no one there. It looks run down.
It's run down.
And then no one works it ever again. Like, right. No one has any responsibilities whatsoever to work this place. No, we own a garage also. That's where we're going to start working at now.
And honestly, like, okay, so. So where's like why is Dom so sweaty back there? Like why don't you just turn on the AC? Like it's California, they gotta have AC out there, right?
This is early 2000s filmmaking. Yeah. Everything, all of the ISO was pumped way up to make everything look tan.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you think as the owner of a market, you want to have your chair facing the people coming inside just to keep an eye on what's happening out in the restaurant? But no, he. Back to everybody.
Yeah.
In mystery.
Hey, you want a beer? Got one. Okay.
Okay, well, geez, I was trying to be, cordial. And
not even
say,
drinking
hey,
a Corona, it doesn't look
out.
Like.
Yeah, that's rude.
But Vin Diesel, my God, is that man intimidating in this movie, though. And just right from the start, the way he walks swiftly out to break up the fight.
Yeah.
And you already said it, the I'm in your face. Like, the way he fucking says that. Where do you work for Harry? You were just fired.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just started. You were just fired. It's like, whoa.
And that's how it was for me I think even for Pitch Black, his intro was very like, boom, you are now among the most baddest man on the planet. That's kind of how this movie was too.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes from ominous to in your face very fast.
I mean, he commands respect, and you know that if this were a true thing, all of those dudes probably at one time tried to fight Dom, and Dom put them in their place, and now they're just little puppy dogs that do whatever he says, because he's just such a badass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got to mention, though, too, like when they do get out of their car and they do like the classic roll up, like in the crew, and he's
synchronized roll up.
Yeah, yeah, the synchronized roll. They're like fishtailing or like swerving through and like following that, like it's some sort of commercial for Kia.
All the photography, man, I got to say, I like it a lot.
Oh, I know. Like, and
but you're right.
It's
you're
all
right.
Sweeping through and everything, and it's like we kind of get this intro, and then you get Vince, who's like, talk to me, Jesse, this ain't working. And you're just like, it's a fuel map. map, bro. And it's just like, oh, we're car guys.
I'm the mouse, like in Matrix. Yeah. I'm the guy who knows the tech stuff.
I'm techie. Yeah, bro.
I don't like him.
I don't like him. It's just like, it's like frustrating watching, I guess, at the, like later on. Like, you're just like, oh, yeah, okay, we get it. You guys are car guys. The decals on the car didn't set that one. Didn't set that tone, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man.
So he has a conversation with Brian, and he grabs his ID. He's like, Brian Earl Spillner? Sounds like a serial killer's name. Like, it straight up
it
does.
It really does.
Like, Brian Earl Spillner?
Like, nabbed in the 80s for finding 10 dead children under his floorboards, you know? Sounds just like it would be a serial killer's name.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's so accurate.
Interestingly enough, we'll come back around to the serial killer aspect in a little bit, guys.
Oh, right. Shit.
So my big thing before we move on is, like, he goes back. He's like, you were just fired. And he walks into that place. He's like, Dominic, I really appreciate what you did for me in a big way. He's like, and he's like, you're messing up my business, Brian. And he's like, takes off his shirt and he puts on a new shirt. And he says, hey, I need Nos. He's like, you can't take Nos. You're an amateur. And he's like, I need one of these. No, make it two. And Harry, I need it by tonight. I'm like, so you need this two nitrous tanks installed in your car properly, and that's got to be like 2 p.m.
It's, yeah, we're already getting to the end of the day, the end of the workday at some point here.
Like, you're going to tell me that you need this in 3.5 hours before sundown?
He's not a paying customer.
Yeah, and like, you're just I need this all to function perfectly with all the computer shit. And like, no, dude, you can't do that.
Is he not in on it? Is Harry on it?
I gather that Harry got in trouble with the law, and the law is pressing him to be like, you let us do this
That's what
to
I'm
not get
too.
You in trouble,
okay,
right?
Cool.
Right. So he does have to sort of do that, I guess, right?
Kind of got to deal with it, but I think Brian is the kind of guy who he doesn't ruffle the feathers for his informants or whatever. Yeah. He's just like, hey, I'm here, and we got to do a job.
We got to do it now, because it's about me.
I did have a Nos this morning, just so you guys know. Cool. Just in preparation for this episode.
Nos up, bro.
All right, so that night, Brian brings his modified car to an illegal street race, hoping to find a lead on the heist crew. Dominic arrives and initiates a drag race between himself, Brian, and two other drivers. Lacking funds, Brian is forced to wager his car. Dominic wins the race after Brian's car malfunctions, but the LAPD arrive before he can hand over his vehicle. Brian helps Dominic escape, but they accidentally venture into the territory of Dominic's old racing rival, gang leader Johnny Tran. Who destroys Brian's vehicle. They return to Dominic's house, where he yells at the rest of his friends for ditching him.
So we get, I think, needle drop number 4 of 79, I might say. Rolling, 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 rolling. Come on, rolling, rolling, rolling. I hear Limp Bizkit, even if it's for fucking one verse and a chorus, I'm okay with it. I'm into this movie already.
Immediately.
Well, that's the thing. Like, what was this medley as he rolls in? Did you guys notice that? Like, the music medley that's going on?
You know what? I got a guess.
Hip-hop song happening. What?
But then it's Limp Bizkit.
But then it goes to Limp Bizkit, and then it goes to, like, the Fast and the Furious theme song.
They're trying to diversify, just much like the crowd of racers. Oh. That is the most diversified group of people you could ever play. In fact, it's well ahead of his time.
Goes back.
Like, you would expect
that
from today to be like, we got to put as many diversities in here as we can. No, every group they came around to had like a different song.
Yeah.
So it was really bad. It was like, well, these people probably listen to Limp Bizkit. No, these people like Ja Rule.
Yeah. It's my only gripe about the movie is that, like, they have like a soundboard in front of them, and they're like clicking a song and playing that. But then, like, right after, even if that song isn't done yet, they're clicking the other one, and it's mashing together at first, and then it clears up a little bit, you know, and then you can hear the other song. There's so many, so many songs. It's so loud, this movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's so loud.
Oh my God.
Brian, Snowman, standing next to his car.
Snowman.
And Hector comes up, who, by the way,
I love Hector.
Yeah. This guy plays Hector. He's got at least like 8 other movies credited as playing Hector. It's a fact. Like, go to his IMDb.
He's like, whatever, man.
He plays Hector in like 8 other movies, man. I think he might have a Hectorverse or something.
I got
like
a last name too, but I can't pronounce it.
But I can't pronounce it. Yeah, I love that. You know, it's hilarious, you know?
I love the line, it's not how you stand by your car. It's how you race your car. Thanks, Ja Rule.
Dude.
Thanks, Edwin, who refers to himself in the third person.
Do you guys remember the advertising for this movie before it came out, though?
It was all Ja Rule?
It seriously was. I specifically remember them being like, he was Fast big. And the Furious starring Ja Rule.
Yeah, he was big back in this day.
And that was it. That was his only role in the movie.
So they were fire-fasting this movie.
Yeah.
And he was fucking terrible actor in this movie. Dude, Jesus
not,
Christ.
It's not how you stand by your car. It's how you race your car. It's like, really? Because this is only a racing movie. I didn't
this movie about
realize.
Racing, right? That's what I thought.
I thought it was about standing next to cars.
We actually have to drive these cars?
Oh, shit.
Fuck, I don't know how to shift. I can't drive a manual.
Well.
Granny shifting.
Granny shifting. We'll get there. I got something for that.
All right, so a couple things. First of all, Rob Cohen, the director, was the Pizza Hut guy?
Yeah.
Which I love, because like this is clearly a major inconvenience. But is he the only person that's inconvenienced by the blocking off an entire quarter mile of a road?
And like the pizza guy that just got severely lost.
Yeah. Go on, pizza boy.
Go on, pizza boy. Leon's got a very deep and intimate. He could basically be Ja Rule, like his voice acting. You know,
well, and the pizza guy probably didn't realize that he actually was sitting in the driver's seat, even though he's in the passenger.
You're right.
Like, he probably confused him big time with
he
that.
Doesn't know imports. He just knows pizza, man. So it's not his business. So, what the hell's going on here? That's really not great.
It's like a Quentin Tarantino appearance.
Yeah, it
in a
kind
movie.
Of is.
You didn't have to be in there.
Damn street racers, kids punk, kids hula hoops, damn it.
One thing that bothered the shit out of me upon rewatch was why did they have to spray paint a starting line when there was already a perfectly good white line 2 feet in front of it that is permanently there on the street?
Yeah.
What is the point of that?
I don't know.
Dude.
I
don't know.
Insult to injury. I don't know. What bothered me the most, honestly, was it was the guy of the Asian descent in the race was playing a racing game in his car. Like, just soup. I hear you like racing. We're gonna put a racing car game
in your race
car.
Exhibit was definitely a part of this. Like, he absolutely was. West Coast Customs was heavily involved in the curation of these cars.
But then
he
fucking crashes hard, and it's like, that's not a good omen.
Yeah,
you're clearly not good at video games.
So that's not a
maybe
good
you
omen.
Should pick something else, dude.
Yeah, find another hobby. Like,
like, okay, I am an okay guitar player, Guitar Hero. I can shred at. Still, you know, at least I'm okay.
It's easier to play a video game of a car race than drive a real car.
I would imagine.
That's the thing, though. You know, you talk about that, and I just think, you know, kids in 2001, like you're my age in 2001, like kids were way too busy thinking about like Dom's stereo in his trunk that he pumps up or playing video games in your car while Ja Rule is literally getting teased with a threesome. Okay. They were totally distracted by what's going on in these cars and not the fact that Ja Rule is getting offered a menage a.
Menage!
Menage!
Monica!
Monica!
So much like we talked about in Point Break. The 10-second race. You want to know exactly how long the 10-second race took?
Like 2 minutes.
Two
three
minutes and five seconds.
Oh my God.
2 minutes and 5 seconds. How are we supposed to believe this shit?
Cinema time, dude. Rules don't matter.
Well, and to be fair, like I really liked the cinematography in this car.
It's fun.
CGI thing with his fist on the thing and it goes through the engine. I was like, that's cool. It looks horrible now because like obviously.
It's a cool idea.
But it's a really cool idea.
And how everything starts to distort the faster they go. Yeah, yeah. Like when he hits the nozzle and everything blurs.
It's a cool idea.
I've actually been in someone's car that has a launch mode on their car that's like 700 horsepower and you hit the button and you go from 0 to 60.
Are you friends with Elon Musk or
no? These are normal cars that you can buy on the street. You can go from 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds and it legitimately feels like what that looked like.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I'm
time
like,
blurs a little bit.
Everything's blurring. Did I just go into the future? What the fuck happened? But it was actually kind of cool. The camera work for I remember being very impressed back then.
I think the directing and the cinematography are actually on point.
Yeah.
In this movie, I don't like. I will get to my comparison of this and Point Break later, but I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
We'll see.
It's those cars are gonna do way better than 2 minutes in 10 seconds. Was that fun? He blows this thing. By the way, it just took me back to their car talk of just like Wooderson.
It's actually, I like Wooderson to put way better than these guys explaining shit in their car.
Let me tell you what the tuna toast is packing. I see a cool air intake, NOS fogger system, T4 turbo, AIC controller, direct board, nitrous injection, standalone fuel and management system. We're talking some fucking muscle.
I'm gonna superimpose that over the Dazed and Confused scene because that's. Like if Wooderson went to the future, he'd be like, "Well, I got to talk about cars.
Talk about cars
things are different in cars now.
Look at that fuel injected motherfucker in there."
Oh my god!
It's just all he's. It's all I could think
it's
about.
The same thing because I know nothing about cars, so I don't care what the fuck you're saying.
I don't know anything about it, like what they're saying. I'm just like, yeah, they're just spouting stuff off in both movies, honestly.
Another issue with that car chase scene is when the actual floor of his car falls out.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Like, are you, wait, seriously, that's the bottom of the floor in your car? Because that ain't ever happened.
Just the metal plate.
Why, just have a metal plate?
Plate.
And then when Dom gets in the car, like they forget that the floor's gone.
Yeah.
So Dom's just holding his feet up in the air while they're getting away from the car.
That's what's happening, right?
I guess.
Like, that's literally what I was saying. I was like, I'm no car guy. Okay. But sure. What the hell are all these nuts and bolts just falling out around everywhere? Diamond plate floor just falls out. And yeah, you just, that's it.
And why does the computer know that the floor's about to fall out?
Oh, the danger to manifold. The fuck does that mean?
It's the floor manifold.
Oh, the floor manifold, oh, yeah.
With the rotary girder.
Hey,
yeah.
These nuts and bolts aren't doing too hot down here, says the NOS system.
Oh, speaking of NOS,
yeah,
you know, did you know that nitrous is neither explosive nor flammable?
Wow.
Are you serious?
Correct.
NOS! Yeah,
it's not. Even though that looks cool to shit, like the blue flames in there and the that would not actually happen.
Well,
I just thought everyone should know that.
And before that, when they do get taken over by Tran... And he like taps the gun on the window. He's like, "Hey, pull over." It's like, no.
Actually, I'm not going to pull over.
I'm just
going to
slam on my brakes, exactly. Take out the guys behind me, and then I'm going to go real fast, and then slam each side one. And that's it. You're fine. Crotch rockets are over. Big deal.
You literally don't have to.
It's going
to
be a long night. It's like, well, how does he know that I'm with you?
How do they know who it is?
Yeah. How do they even know? It's like, oh, there's a street racer in our territory. Like, what? That's what they're going to do.
We don't care who it could have been. Hector. Like Hector or no? We don't know.
I don't know. Like, they're just going to brandish MAC-10s at just civilians. Like, what the fuck, man?
Johnny Tran's a punk, dude.
He's a bitch, bro. Okay. I have to say, though. When he loses the race, okay. And he's like smiling, he's like, "Dude, I almost had you.
I almost had you."
And he's like, "Almost had me." And I half expected it to be like, "Ba-da-dum, almost had me." It's just like a musical starting up. Like, ask any racer, any real racer. It's like, it doesn't matter if you win by a way, so am I. Oh, it don't matter. It's just like. This is a musical starting up right here.
Kind of was. The whole crowd starts dancing perfectly in sync behind them.
Any Jesus real Christ. Racer.
Fasten the fiddler on the roof.
Holy shit.
I kind of... Are we on to something or
I
no?
So, man. I think Fast and the Furious on Broadway is about to go large.
I'm surprised that's not actually even a thing, dude. At this point.
Oh,
Jesus.
Let's do it.
Dude, I think...
It turns out it's like, sure, opening night, and then it goes 8 hours later, closed forever, because there's no actual car races on Broadway. Right. And people turns out that's what they like.
That's what they want. Apparently, cardboard cutouts and people like walking behind them wasn't enough for them. Save the imagination.
They're fiberglass, dude. Yeah. Fuck.
Almost had me. Dun-dun-dun.
So they're heading back home. Paul Walker or Brian saves Vin Diesel. Why? So the cop clearly spotted him, right? He's like, Dominic Toretto, we found you. Yeah. And then he runs away. So, like, why don't they go?
That's basically what he
why
says.
Why don't they just go to a store
later? Why don't they just be like, hey, I saw Dominic Toretto at the scene of the crime, so let's just go to his house because we know where he lives.
Or let's just go to the market that has his name
that
on it.
Toretto.
That says Toretto's
and
market.
Let's just apprehend him.
And we'll just get him then.
But nope.
Sounds good.
Sorry, we lost him.
Oh, damn it.
Whoops.
It's a very Grand Theft Auto 5 feel to this movie.
You run out of your area of wanted him. Level, and then you're gone.
He lost his stars.
They forget you exist.
Yeah.
It just feels like mini missions in Grand Theft Auto 5. And even the music interludes from time to time just feels like they're taking you to the next scene. Like even the time lapses where it goes from night to day is when it's like, oh, real quick, we got to advance the storyline. I love Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's the thing. It's like Spaceballs. Like, nice dissolve.
Oh yeah, so we're at the house scene.
We get this party.
We have to go to the party.
I don't know, man. Something about them arriving in a taxi when they all have these fucking super huge, like massive, souped up cars and are known for their cars is hilarious to me. Like, what could have happened to you just then and now? Like, we just saw you guys in your car, right? And now you're both arriving in a taxi. You both lost your cars.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened out there?
You had two. You went down to one, and now you're in a taxi. And you even said, well, it's a 20-mile hike back. I think I got time.
How fast do you walk a mile?
Yeah.
What is that, like 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
So can we do the math there? Is that like a long fucking time? It's like a long fucking time. But then they got the taxi, so we're good there.
We got the taxi. Yeah, thank God.
But a more pertinent question maybe is what Dom asks. And he's like, why are you guys partying right now?
Yep.
And you're not out looking for me? We're just about to come look for you, dude.
Oh, we were just about to come looking for you, dog.
He's got every right.
Yeah, he should be mad.
You got fucking Vince just playing the electric guitar for that girl.
That Zach Wilde guitar.
Blum, 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 blum.
Playing some half-assed Jimi Hendrix blum, blum, lick blum, on a Zach Wilde guitar.
Boom, boom,
boom. It's like going to the beat of the fucking techno bullshit going on there.
I knew I didn't like that guy. The minute I saw him holding that guitar, like, do not play a fucking guitar at a party.
He's the guy who brings the guitar to the party.
Do not be that guy.
Yeah. Don't just chug the guitar at the party.
Yeah.
You would play Wonderwall at least.
Wonderwall, give me some Crash Into Me. Don't fucking play along to the song that's in the background.
Yeah, who's keeping just like the house guitar and drop D? Like, what the hell, man? But hey, why'd you bring the Buster back?
Cause the Buster. Even that, like, I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry for asking. Like,
yeah, I know.
I don't like this guy, but Jesus,
oof. Like, okay, yeah. Cause the Buster kept me out of handcuffs. He's just like, oh, okay. Well, he's right, I guess. Yeah. Like, how can you battle that? It's like Vince, and you're like, you're gonna just like not let him justify that. You know what I mean?
But it's kind of shitty on Dom because Dom brings him into this house full well knowing no one likes him.
Yeah.
Sure.
Professes how much this guy is cooler than all of his friends now because he saved my life. Takes a beer out of your hand.
Takes the beer.
Gives it to him and then stares down your buddies and then leaves to go upstairs.
It is pretty hard.
Like he just riled everybody up and then left.
Yeah.
His only ally in the house.
He just put bowls in a china shop with Corona.
Thank God for Mia.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a
paper
good thing.
Paper plate in a snowstorm.
Yeah. Like, you know what? This is a great moment, though. You can have any beer in the house you want as long as it's a Corona.
Hey, all right. Like,
you got Coronas here. Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
But kind of a shitty move on Brian's part. Mia shows some interest.
And she's like, hey, how about you just give me a drink? Goes to the kitchen, gets her drink.
What are you going to grab? Obviously.
A Snapple.
Yeah, duh. I mean, you're going to...
Because first of all, people keep Snapple around.
Yeah. Because once you pop the top, the fun don't stop. Did you notice that they...
I wish the fun wouldn't stop.
Did you notice that they imposed the sound of a Snapple opening?
No, they
fucking did. They did.
Whoop.
That Snapple Pop Top.
That's a pretty
opening.
Distinct.
It's
PG-13.
We want to cater to the yeah. kids who can't drink yet and the kids who can. So Coronas it is, Snapple it is.
Not to mention it's peach tea. You're gonna hate it.
For all you know, a Corona is just a Snapple type drink. You know,
they shop at Costco or something. They buy in bulk. Like, what the fuck they have Snapple for? I don't get it.
All right, so moving along, Brian brings a damaged car to Dominic's garage, and the crew begins the long process of restoring the vehicle. While investigating Hector as potential mastermind behind the truck hijackings, Brian is discovered by Dominic and Vince. Brian convinces them that he is researching his opponent's vehicles for the upcoming Desert Race Wars. Together, the trio investigate Tran's garage, discovering a large quantity of electronic goods. Brian goes on a date with Mia and then helps the FBI arrest Tran and Lance. They are released because the electronics are proven to have been purchased legally, and Brian is given 36 hours to find the heist crew.
Wow.
That's a good Corona sound right there.
Ted Levine as Angelo Pettis?
Pappas.
Pappas.
But not as big of a role, though.
Not as big as a role, but I love Ted Levine as in anything he does. And it's a cool way to reveal that he's an FBI agent, but it's pretty late in the movie, to be honest. Like they pull him over and everything like that and take him to the station. And it's like, well, that was a bit dramatic. He's like, well, you don't know who's watching. He's like, I doubt that anybody's watching.
Yeah, but come on.
I doubt that anybody's watching.
They just wanted to treat him like shit for a little while. You know what? I did not really know Ted Levine. I was like, man, that guy looks so familiar, like I typically do, and then I look him up. Fucking Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. Mind-blowing to me when I went, excuse me, what?
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
Jesus.
I'm just saying. Goodbye, like that,
horses.
I fucking love that song so much. Now, couldn't we have played that song in this movie somehow? Oh my God. That would have been awesome.
Mild tribute.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I thought that was such a cool...
He's so good.
Yeah.
Even Heat. He's great in Heat. Yeah, I love him.
I also thought it was kind of weird, too. Before we get to this takedown of Tran, right?
Yeah.
We get to that. Brian. We find
the Warhammer.
Of War Child. We find out that Brian apparently lives in the back of Harry's shop. I don't know if you noticed that his bed is in the back of Harry's shop. Kind of a weird place to live, let alone take your new girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you want to come with me to sleep in my bed that's in the back of a garage?
Before this, it's like Vince is coming on to her again while Paul...
Before the date.
Brian is helping her out with the dishes and everything like that. And she pretty much revenge dates him.
Completely.
And it's just like...
Kind of fucked up.
What's that Italian or whatever place that you want to take me to?
The Cuban bar?
Oh, yeah.
Cha-cha-cha's?
The plantains.
You can take me there on Friday. Pick me up at 7.
Ooh.
But don't you kind of feel sorry for Vince? I mean, like, I know that the movie plays him out to be this fucking dick of a guy, but Vince was right. He's like, didn't trust this guy. He thought he was a cop.
Yeah, he's
stealing his girlfriend. Yeah. For all we know, they may have actually been dating, like, very recently.
Very true.
Yeah.
Literally coming in and just fucking shit up, and then he's the one getting in trouble for it.
Yeah, before Paul Waugh comes around ordering tuna sandwiches, she could have been like leading Vince on this whole time. You know, Vince could have been interested. Oh, Dom's kind of like giving his blessing, his godfather blessing or some shit.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know.
And then I'll break your neck.
And then they find him literally, they buy that shitty ass story of him, why he's sneaking into garages.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Honestly can't believe it. And I was like, a twist. And it was just like, yeah, but we didn't need that.
No, we didn't need that.
In that scene, by the way, when he gets his head like hit by the shotgun and they're like interrogating him, he totally looks like the dude from like Billy from Stranger Things with the hair, and it looks like he's got freaking guy liner on and like
cool.
like some crummy mustache.
Cool. Like, I like that.
I'm like, wait a second, is that Dakra, what's his name? I can't remember. He's like Australian or something.
Dirk Diggler?
Oh, we don't know.
Yeah, Dirk Diggler.
We know who you're talking about. We just don't know.
Billy Hargrove. Yeah, you got it.
but then they go to Tran's garage and we see how big of shit bags they are.
Yeah.
Just fucking. Is there a more punchable face than Lance?
Okay, so.
Get into Lance.
You mean Lance the Pants? David Schwimmer's like stepbrother, Asian stepbrother. like, yeah, I totally catch it, bro.
I hate Lance.
Yeah.
I really liked his intensity a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta be honest, like, when he's like, what do you think about that, Lance? And it's just like close up of him, not blinking whatsoever. Yeah. He's like, I don't like that at all.
What do you think? 50 weight, 40 weight? 40 weight sounds 40 good.
Weight. 40 Let's weight do that. Sounds nice.
I was like kind of a good psychopath, to be honest. I'm like, yeah. Damn, dude. Fuck that guy.
It's nobody's car. Somebody put in the wrench time. What do you think, Lance? It's a beautiful machine.
God.
Oh my
like
God.
To see how, like to crack it open, see how it's made. See its innards. Brian Earl Spillner and serial killer.
Disgusting. Yeah, he's such a punchable face for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But then we get into the takedown of Tran. We are assuming this is Tran, right? Tran's the guy. He's got all this stuff in his
it's
garage.
It's literally the War Child scene.
It's the same thing. We got to go take him down.
You got to do it.
In this song, I don't know if it's like Marilyn. Dude.
No, it's dope. Debonair. I specifically Shazammed it because I thought it was maybe Marilyn Manson. It's the band Dope. It's called Debonair. That song is perfect
it's
for that
dope.
Scene.
Kicking.
It is so dope. Awesome.
Oh, man.
It's just like it fires you up for what's going on. And
it's so cool. Dude,
that was like Rob Zombie for a little bit. I'll be honest with you.
It sounds just like it's new metal.
It's the early 2000s. Everybody ripped it.
Everyone was Rob Zombie. Okay, got you.
I probably John 5 wrote the guitar riff.
Most likely. Yeah.
But the only problem I had with that scene, because I really like that takedown and the disrespect of the father.
How could you?
And even the shot Smacks coming him. Out of the house looking over L.A.
Yeah.
Why was there a Dominic and Letty sex scene in the middle of this? Please explain to me what that had to do with anything. They're like going through this. They're going to take down, but it's just Dominic and Letty in the shot.
Yeah.
She's like, let me feel your muscles. And he's like, okay.
I guess so. Did you know they were actually dating at this time?
Really?
Those two actresses, they were actually dating at the time, though, too. So it wasn't probably, you know, maybe it was just B-roll that was happening. Guys had a second agenda going on.
Hey, check it out, huh?
Let's just use this, I guess. We have it. Do you guys mind? Like, no, we're going to be together forever.
Yeah.
We're in love.
We love each other.
And I don't care who knows it.
We're going to contractually be together forever because we're going to be doing 10 movies at least.
Is she in the movies still?
She's
too?
In all of them.
She's in all of them.
You don't turn that. If you have the worst breakup of your entire life, but yet you have to go to work where you make like $40 million, you go to work. You put your differences aside.
I'll act like I love anybody.
Fuck yes.
I don't care.
Vin Diesel didn't have the foresight for that one. Yeah, neither did she. Yeah. They were just like, oh, yeah, we love each other. Now let's do 10 movies. Oh, this was a terrible idea to sign a contract.
I love Michelle Rodriguez, though.
She's phenomenal.
It's cool to see her. It's cool to see like a character like this, especially in 2001, like a female character, like be like the kind of driver and like be part of the gang. And like she does a lot of the bullshit with them, you know,
kind of tomboyish.
Yeah.
In a way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she's sexy as fuck. Like, I don't think she's even aged a bit, but
that was her first movie that I recognize.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
And, little tidbit on that. Jordana Brewster and Michelle Rodriguez didn't have their license when they started filming this. So they had to get their actual like California license to drive.
Weird.
And trained to drive.
Jeez.
Like they were underage of being able to drive, or they just had never
gotten
their license?
They just had never got it. Oh, okay. Probably just like, you know, California driving around.
Whatever.
Have drivers and shit.
I don't have a fucking car.
Exactly.
Why do I need to drive?
Not to go too far back, but remember when like Hector does roll up to the Racer's Edge and like he pulls up and he goes in and meets Brian. I need three of everything. They roll up there and like, now that's valet parking. No, it's not. That's not that you parked it yourself. That's not valet. That's not valet parking. So
you mean like VIP?
Yeah, yeah, VIP maybe, but
like the joke that I've heard. Oh, I heard that porn star parking right there. Nope, you missed it. That's not valet parking.
VIP parking would be parking like right next to the door, and then having some guy with a wheelchair come out and get you, and then put you into the building.
Correct.
With a red carpet.
Exactly.
Yes.
That would be VIP.
Rose petals. Yeah.
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 Maybe, I never caught.
Maybe like a gaggle, of women accompanying you.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Know. Most likely.
Or dudes. I don't know.
What? Hey. Whatever, man. Whatever.
Whatever, bro.
Think about how crazy it is. You know, this movie is, what, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
And, like, all the cars are the same, and all the clothes are kind of the same.
Yeah.
But, like, the technology is what is never is always going to be out of date immediately. Computers, VCRs,
yeah,
DVD players. Yeah. What are we even talking? This is 20 years ago.
Camcorders.
This is all completely out of date.
Yeah,
every bit of this.
Yeah,
but yet everything else is just no. It was 20 years ago. Yeah. That's not bad.
It's all
2001. No big deal.
It's whatever, bro.
Elon Musk, man. I don't know.
Flip phones.
Flip phones. Yeah.
Dude.
That Beepers. Has really good reception, apparently, too.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so Paul Walker, and that he's intervening with Ted Levine's
in
character.
That weird house that they have
commandeered. Yeah, the weird, like, trailer thing. Yeah, the house they have commandeered. But, like, Ted Levine is, like, that good friend that says no when you want to smoke. He's like, I thought you quit. He's like, I'm not quitting today. And then he's like, give him a smoke. He's like, no!
No!
Don't smoke. I was like, that's kind of like, just kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, he didn't make it.
He's completely concerned about it. He's like, you quit, dude.
You quit. Stop it.
Stop.
He's like, he's
disappointed in you.
He's
right
concerned
now.
About all of his vices. And he's like, how about you make a few like cappuccinos for us? And he's like, okay. It's like regular or decaf? He's like, do it decaf. Do it decaf. It's like, I don't want to have any caffeine. He's getting all riled up, you know? Like, he's just like elderly aunt. Like,
I did not even think about that. I was fucking.
Canceling all his vices.
Kind of came out of nowhere. Saying, no,
no,
no.
Don't give him a cigarette.
Smoking's bad for you. Okay.
I picture it's kind of cute.
What was his name? What's Ted Levine's character? Oh, it's Sergeant Tanner. I picture
Tanner,
like,
yeah.
He seems kind of lonely. Like, yeah. maybe his yeah. wife just left him and his kids are grown up and he really immerses himself in the job and really yeah. tries to be like, hey, Brian, we should go grab a beer after this. Oh, man, I really got to go. I got this date with Mia. It's not a date, though, because it's on my undercover. Yeah, oh,
kind of got this thing.
You can come if you want. Oh, no, I can't come.
No, it's fine.
No, it's fine. Listen, I'll just probably go to sleep and
watch
Cheers or something.
Yeah. I'm just going to go back to the hotel room, maybe order a Meat Lovers large.
Yeah.
And make sure you don't smoke tonight, though.
Yeah,
okay?
No smoking.
I know you like to drink. Drinking leads to smoking. Smoking leads to cancer.
Going to get myself a large gluten-free crust.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like I'm vegan, you know.
I'm vegan, you know.
I do CrossFit.
No,
well.
It sounds like a great night, Serge.
No.
I'm going to go get laid.
Yeah. Okay, go get laid.
All right, see ya.
So this guy, the guy that is in that Ferrari,
yes,
is apparently a big-time producer.
Yeah, he produced this movie.
In real life. He
Wait,
produced
what?
This movie.
Yeah.
He's produced hundreds of other things. Like, he's actually like a...
Neil Moritz?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Neil Moritz. He has like his own production company. He's produced a ton of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a weird cameo, but like you don't know him at all because why would you know a producer?
It's probably his
face?
Ferrari. And he's just like,
yeah.
I'm going to put myself in this movie.
Yeah.
What's the retail on one of those?
More like, than you can afford.
Ferrari.
Ferrari.
But like, can we not show him beating me because yeah. I don't really want to have that image on my
right, right.
He only won because he went out of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they went to so after that they go and they get shrimp and they get food. Did you guys know about this place?
Yes.
No, what is it?
This is it's Neptune's Net.
Okay.
Do you know what other movie this is in?
No.
You say it.
Point Break.
Yes.
No yeah. way. It's the same place. Is it where Tyler
yep.
is?
Yeah.
What?
It's the same
I
place.
I thought
that
maybe
Tyler
it was,
worked.
But I didn't think to look
it's
in further.
It's the same place. It also makes a cameo, I believe, in Iron Man or something like
cool.
that.
Cool.
But it's the same shrimp joint. Shrimp and fries. They I can't get my own shrimp. It's the same place, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Same place.
Man, so that's the only coincidence between the two movies.
That's the only
it's
thing that's
really cool that they just, you know, like have that coincidence because we just did that movie last week.
Yeah.
For
fun, when we get done with scene five, let's try to make up some comparisons between the movies.
Yeah,
for
that'd
fun.
Be cool. That'd be
for
cool.
fun. We'll do them
just
all
for
at
fun.
Once.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so the following day, Dominic and Brian attend Race Wars. There, Jesse wagers his father's car against Tran, but flees with the car after he loses. Tran demands Dominic recover the vehicle. That night, Brian witnesses Dominic and his crew leaving and realizes that they are the hijackers. He reveals his true identity to Mia and convinces her to help him find the crew. Dominic, Letty, Vince, and Leon attack a semi-truck trailer, but the armed driver shoots Vince and runs Letty off the road. Brian arrives with Mia and rescues Vince. He is forced to reveal his identity to call in emergency medical care. Dominic, Mia, and the rest of the crew leave before authorities can arrive.
Whew! real quick, I'm really glad that they had E-Honda bouncing. You know, the Hawaiian Japanese sumo wrestler from Street Fighter was bouncing, actually. Apparently, what? He's pretty hard up for work after his stint as
the same guy.
Yeah, it's the same fucking guy. Awesome. It's the same guy.
Welcome to Race Wars.
Welcome to Race Wars, bud.
Make sure you got your pink slip.
Yeah.
I mean, ticket. I mean, isn't that what you get when you get fired?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Apparently, what it's what you have, how you can give someone your car.
Well, and Michelle Rodriguez is racing that dude. It's like, the dude just pulls up and is, he might as well just pretty much be like, hey, can I fuck you? Like, that's pretty much what he should just be saying. And he's like, oh, you want ass? You go over here. You want to race for 2,000 grand?
You want
two grand.
2,000 grand?
It's a Grand Prix. That's what I meant. $2,000, then you race me or whatever. It's just like, God damn it. This never works.
Yeah.
He just gets his wood screws blown off.
You know? He's going to blow your doors off.
But literally, he's the only guy in this entire movie that doesn't have Nas. And so what the fuck is he thinking?
Dude showed up to Race Wars without the little red buttons. Fuck, man.
Can I give you a little crash course on Nas real quick?
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So first of all, it was never called Nas. This is the first time it's ever been referred to as Nas. It's nitrous oxide. Okay. And then when Fast and Furious came around, they're like, we're just going to call it Nas.
Isn't that the table of contents abbreviation for it? Or
yeah, but no one says that. Okay. That's like showing up to California and being like, I'm from Cali. And everybody's like, no, you're not. No one says
LA.
Cali. I'm from LA.
Call back.
But this is how Nas works. It increases how fast you can get up to speed. But you will ultimately always have a top speed, no matter what. Drag, the way the cars, how fast the engine goes. It doesn't take you like super speed faster than your car can actually go.
It doesn't take you beyond 88 miles per hour.
So it's none of this makes sense. The entire movie, it's always the last person that hits their Nas button.
Yeah.
Which in reality, you should be the first one to hit it.
Yeah.
It's going to make you get to speed faster.
Too soon, Junior.
Too soon, Junior. Everybody knows you got to wait to hit your Nas.
Duh. Button.
And everybody knows it's a little red button.
Yeah.
On the steering wheel. I really enjoyed reading about Nas just being like, this is not how any of this works.
See ya. And he just clicks the button. Oh,
too soon.
My little ace in the hole. It's such horseshit.
Well, I just got up to 120 miles an hour. That's it.
Got there. Well, danger to manifold.
This is where the movie kind of loses me a little bit, because it's like Race Wars, and then it goes back to its plot like right in there, like right away, because Dom is like plotting his next score at Race Wars,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they just kind of go right into it. He leaves from Race Wars to do that. Am I wrong?
They do. They're at Race Wars, like, and like in the middle of it, they're just like, we got to go.
It's like... It's
during
like,
the techno rave.
Well, yeah.
Yes, of course.
Got to.
If I was going to justify it, right? It's the idea that like under cover of night,
it's a good
everyone
alibi.
Thinks we're at Race Wars.
Yeah.
Okay,
and so we're
okay.
Gonna go under cover of night and go do it. Sorry.
What the fuck was that?
Throat just farted. Sorry, it's my throat.
Sorry, mouth fart.
Whoops.
So they leave under cover of night, and then they'll just slip back into the covers, you know, like they
yes,
were never gone.
During the techno rave.
Yeah, during the techno rave.
Yeah.
Dude, fucking Race Wars. This looks like some serious horse. It's like the Barrett Jackson meets fucking Firefest and Burning Man and some middle school dance that they couldn't afford any sort of sound system or lights to. Dude, it looks terrible. It's in the middle of the desert. There's just a group of people and there's cars scattered around. There's nothing going on. There's no lights. There's no stage.
Nope.
There's nothing fun about this.
Do you think they would have gotten all the dirt and sand off the
yeah.
race, the where they race? Because every time
right.
they race, it's just dirt and sand all
yeah.
over the place. They could have just gotten rid of that, maybe. I don't know if high-performing vehicles need no
this
dirt.
This shit isn't sanctioned, man.
No, this is highly illegal.
No way.
So we do leave Race Wars, of course, and we go to the sewage treatment plant where they hide their cars, where I'm sure no one has ever thought to go behind the sewage treatment plant
yeah.
building and,
no.
and see that there are four covered up vehicles that are highly wanted by police.
Didn't you know the sewage plant's where everyone goes to hide their shit?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, covering it up.
Just, like, at least give me like the Airwolf scenario where it's inside of a mountain and there's a password to get in or something. Like, no, we just hide it behind this thing.
Yeah.
We got to go all the way out to get them, but then we go to get the trucks. And
it's like, how many guys do they know? Like, especially the guy in the beginning who's like, hey, it's all clear, dude. It's all clear. You get your trucks headed your
is
way right
the same
now.
Same guy?
Yeah. And is it the same guy who works at the sanitation plant? Or just like, hey, you guys are clear. I got your guys' cars. I'll smear some shit on it. It's fine.
Yeah. It just seems way, way looser than anything that they've done previous. You know what I mean? Like, like there's no info. There's
Trump. Jesse. We should do this with Jesse. He's not here. He's not he left here. With his Jetta.
Yep.
We still got to do this.
Too soon, Junior. God.
Yeah. No.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
And we know from the start that this is not going to go well.
No, for some reason,
this is not going to go like they... And why should they? You've been doing the same thing to the truckers for months now.
Yeah.
One of them's going to eventually have a gun.
Yeah.
They've probably done like this, like what, like maybe 30 times?
Maybe.
In the past, I don't know, couple of different years. That on and off in the summers.
Why doesn't anybody just stop?
We did it.
Yeah.
Well, no, we're just like when they're chasing and the truckers
the trucks.
And everything.
Oh.
Why doesn't anybody just stop? Just stop.
Like there's this thing that I feel like a trucker could do, and it's like, oh, Letty, I want you on the left so that way you can block them so they can't get over to the other lane. And it's like, no, you're a semi who's fully loaded down. All you have to do is just kind of go back and forth at the wheel. That's all you got to do, and you'll just shake them off. It's pretty simple, right? I mean, am I right? Or, like, is it really that, like, obnoxious of an idea to just kind of swerve?
I don't think Sylvester Stallone as Hawk would let this ever happen.
Yeah. Well, he's too busy working out his right arm, so.
Let me ask you a question. Let's assume you get onto a semi-truck, the front of it,
okay,
moving 70 miles an hour down the road.
Makes sense.
And while you're on the front of this semi trying to hang on, someone's shooting a shotgun at you. What's the first thing you think to do?
Hang on.
Jump off.
No, take your helmet off.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing I would do because, like, just in case I fall or get shot with a shotgun, I don't want this helmet in the way.
Yeah.
And that's what Vince does.
How are they going to know that it's me, though, in that scenario?
True.
You know?
Maybe you're... awesome biceps and tattoos and stuff like that.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, because they might be like, who's that guy hanging off the front of the truck?
Hey, wait.
Is he one of our guys?
I see his penguin tattoo. It's fine. It's Sean.
Yeah, who just lets this happen?
Like, I don't know.
It's kind of obnoxious.
I got to say these parts are kind of cool, though. I mean, like I said, they're really well done. Like all the stunts and actually all of the sound effects are really fucking cool.
Yeah.
When there's not blaring fucking techno everywhere, the sound effects are great. I got to be honest. And then like obviously, like I'm saying, the stunts are great too. Jumping from car to semi, from semi to car, whatever like that. It's done really, really well, and it's actually like really exciting to watch. I got to be honest.
Action, that's what an action movie is.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't care the logistics of this. Like, it looks cool.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, they had, speaking of technology and cell phones, like when Brian is trying to catch up to the wolf pack there, like, he flips open his phone and it does, like, the little Nextel, and it's like, this is Brian O'Connor. And it's like, you got service out there? Like, are you sure?
And enough to call for the helicopter, too?
It's the desert, bro. Like, there's no towers out there. This is 2001, okay? This is not happening. There's no way. Nextel, are you kidding? Do you have Boost? What's going on? Where are you at? Like, are you kidding me?
AJ's in the cell phone business, you guys. He knows.
I'm sorry, but he knows. This is just really pulling on some bad things here. Where are you at, bro?
And I'm in the trucking business, and I'm saying, like, I would just stop, turn around, and just keep doing that.
Yeah.
Stop and turn around, and I would just, like, eventually, I mean, you have a CB, call your trucking
buddies.
Call
your trucker friends, dude.
They're all going to come and fucking in full regalia.
Yeah.
Fuck these little toy cars up.
Hey, these Honda Civics are at it again. Cool. We'll be there in, like, 10 minutes. Just hang on.
Sean, you know damn well, this is what, like... This is what, like 10 in the morning?
Yeah.
You know damn well that he's within a couple miles of that truck stop from Over the Top.
Absolutely.
And we know it is packed right now with people drinking and partying. All he's got to do is fly past that with these stupid little fucking cars.
Huge dudes named Wrecker and fucking Beast Guy.
Carmichael.
Beast Guy. Feather Hat. Whatever it was.
Fucking Sunflower.
And Dan.
Dan.
And fucking Dan.
So after all this bullshit, okay, after all of this, Paul Walker goes Stuntman of the Year. He jumps onto the side.
Yep.
Like, Vince is, like, getting railed.
Vince isn't doing well.
He's basically Timmy of this movie from Jurassic Park. He's basically Timmy. He's basically Timmy. And, like, he is just getting roughed up. So he finally gets off, and he throws him off, and they skid to a stop, and then finally, like, the other guys catch up, Dom and Letty and Leon, and they jump out of the car. And all of a sudden, they're 40 feet away from their own car out in the middle of the desert. Like, what? Did they drag Vince all the way out there? What the hell happened?
I didn't even think about that.
They're like out in the fucking desert. And their car's just sitting there.
It's as if they knew Brian was going to call for an air flight.
I got to call for air flight, so let's get him out 40 yards from our car.
Get him out there. Yeah. Let's go.
You're going to need some clearance on this.
They probably would have rather landed on the highway.
I'm just saying.
Dude,
it's just like, it's so frustrating to look at. You're just like, what the fuck are they doing out there? Like, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, let's end this. So Brian arrives at Dominic's house to apprehend him right as the missing Jesse pulls up and pleads for protection. Tran and Lance ride by on a motorbike and shoot Jesse dead. Brian and Dominic give chase in their separate vehicles, finding and killing Tran and injuring Lance. Brian then pursues Dominic, turning into a drag race in which the pair barely cross a railroad before the train passes, but Dominic crashes his car into a truck. Instead of arresting him, Brian gives him the keys to his own car to Dominic, asserting that he still owes him a 10-second car from their first race. Dominic leaves in the Supra as Brian walks away.
Beautiful. Jetta guy. Good riddance.
Jesse, man.
You're hating on Jesse?
I don't know.
For some reason, I figured you'd be like hyped on that Jetta for some odd reason.
Really?
Like, yeah,
why?
I don't know why. I was just like, you know, you try to you like assimilate things and you're just like, I bet Sean likes that Jetta. Nope, he hates it.
That's really random of you, AJ.
You're right.
I don't know.
You're right.
So is Jesse dead? Did he die?
He had to have died.
That's crazy.
He was limp that whole time.
Stood there. Everybody saw it coming.
Yeah.
And had time to like scramble along the ground like Wolverine and Sabretooth and shit like that.
It's really convenient that he showed up right before the two motorcyclists were going to come and shoot up the house.
Right.
Dom, I'm so sorry.
I'm so scared, man. Honestly, make your own bed, dude. Like,
what are you doing?
Give up your fucking car. That's all you need to do.
Yeah,
but also fuck Tran and Lance.
Fuck Tran,
yeah,
man.
Well, yeah. I mean, violence.
Like
is
you could have just
answer.
Showed up and been like, "Hey, look at these guns we have. We will shoot and kill you right now. Just give us the fucking pink
That's
slip.
All we want is the car.
All we want is the car, so we can part it.
I'd like
nobody wants the Jetta.
Yeah, I actually like Jesse.
I do too. I like Jesse.
I like Jesse. I like his car. I think it's a cool car for like the time and everything. The person I don't like in this scene is Mia because she's standing up on that deck like some second wife on the verge of divorce. It's just Dom, would you just knock it off? What the heck are you doing?
This has like, gone far enough.
This has gone far enough. Like Mia, just go back inside. All right, I'm tired of dealing with you. Your attitude. It's just like it's
I got
like,
a shotgun in my hand.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's like. You're not going out there again. Don't get out with your boots, Ted. Don't tell me my business, devil women.
Was kind of. It just all of a sudden her part in the movie was just kind of done. Like,
yeah, that's
she's
it.
Sort of done with this movie.
Her interjection was very, very like brief and random in that moment. It was just, Dom, cut it out. Okay, we're done with Mia.
And so Dom was going to find Jesse.
Right.
Jesse shows up. Gets himself killed.
Right.
So now Dom doesn't care about anything other than getting Tran and Lance.
Trance.
Trance. Get it? Techno? Trance.
Oh, no.
Get it?
Oh, no.
But I very much enjoyed this kind of final.
Yeah, it was good.
Like, you know, they kill Tran.
They killed Tran.
They had to die. And I'm glad to see it. I was like, oh, yeah.
But what about Lance? They didn't do anything. Lance was just like. hey, I think I'm okay. I think I'm down at the bottom of the hill.
I don't know why he left
I'm all right, man.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't know. It just makes me, it's like, was a drive-by really necessary?
No.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's like you can't just stop by like, hey, we raced at Race Wars. We raced for Pink's. And I won fair and square. It's a gentleman's agreement. I think, look, I just, if you want to, like, finish it up, but it's my car.
Could you fill up the tank before you bring by?
You know, if you don't want to do it, then fine. But it's my car. I won fair and square. Yep. I'm trained.
I hate to get the lowers on this, but I will. I mean, I don't want to be that guy. You know? I really don't.
It's like, I don't want to have to do this, but hey, we're, you know, this is a gentleman's agreement. So just stand over the keys.
We're not leaving until you hand the keys.
And we'll be on our way.
Ask everybody at Race Wars. They saw it.
They all saw it, man.
E-Honda saw it.
Sweaty E-Honda.
Sweaty E-Honda.
Sweaty E-Honda. Wow.
Yeah. It's getting late.
All right. It's getting late. But even this, I thought it was beautiful. I was getting to that. The Dom and Brian race. Like, even that was shot really cool. And almost them making eye contact, like, we're going to do this. And they beat the train, and everybody's like, shit, yeah. And then he ramps the front of the semi, which probably wouldn't have happened. I think he would have
right in front of
he would have flown through the windshield and died upon impact. But there was a ramp there, apparently.
Right.
But
yeah,
even that, I found myself really loving that final 10-second drag.
Cool.
It just was shot so well.
That car flipping over that truck looks so badass.
Yeah.
It's so
really cool.
And like the car like flips right in front of a camera too and just barely misses it. It's so cool looking. Dude.
Yeah, it's all put together really well. Like I'm so sorry, guys. I just think to myself, like, he's like, I'm going for it. And it's like, well, what if Brian didn't show up? Right, and he's just like, all right, I'm going to go on green.
I'm just going to race up
by myself.
That's what I was thinking.
Or what if he does show up, and he's like, on green, I'm going for it. And Brian's just like, nah, come on, man. Like, let's not do this. Like, let's not do this. That doesn't sound like fun right now. You know, it's been a pretty crazy day. And he's like, okay, so we are going for it. And it's just like, there was no drama.
It's my 30-year wave.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't that built up. It wasn't like,
yeah.
I mean, he did just say, like, I used to drag this in high school or whatever like that. But it wasn't like I need to beat this
my
train.
My life culminating to this moment.
I've never been able to beat this train. I need to beat this train. We didn't get any of that.
It's like, yeah. I'm just going to, you want to come with me? Or?
Yeah, I guess this would be kind of fun. You know, it's kind of a fitting end to everything we're going to do. I hope we stop and I'll arrest you after this. But yeah, whatever. Let's go for it. That'll be fun. And then all of a sudden the train hits. It's like, thank God that train showed up. Otherwise, it'd be a lot less dramatic.
Exactly. I'm like, good job.
Hey.
Great. All right. So I'm taking you in.
Yeah, that's it, right? Okay,
that's
we're
good.
Done.
But like this ending just in general is kind of garbage to me, though, because it's like Vince is seriously hurt.
Yeah.
We don't know if he's going to make it. He was life-flighted. Jesse's dead.
Right.
His dad's car is fucking totaled, his prized possession. The cops are coming after him. Brian literally killed a guy.
It's fine if you're a cop.
Oh, God. Well, we don't even know if he's a cop anymore. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Right.
He's like, what's happening?
If you have a badge, you're a cop. If you don't, you're not. That's
okay.
It.
It was just like, what? So he's just walking towards the cops like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm here. Yeah. And then
right.
like, oh, it's me. I gave him my car and he left.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't get him.
I love him. But even like, did you know that there was a after the credits scene? Did you know about that?
No.
It's the most pointless shit ever.
So it's Dom driving a car through in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it's the repeat of what he said. I live my life quarter mile
at a time.
But what a terrible idea. They literally took the guy who won't be in the next two movies and put him in the teaser for the next two movies because he wasn't in number two or number three.
I'm wondering if it was like a late addition to like when they finally like they like released it on DVD or they like it was a reissue of it or something. They're like, yeah, let's put this little Dom teaser in the end there. It's like, yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it was like Back to the Future. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, before we leave this, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say other than the fact that this is the exact same movie as Point Break.
It is. We've been trying to get around it, but we can't now.
The more we talk about it, the more I realize. And it's not just like, oh, it's an undercover cop, and he does
the
thing, and he gets a guy, and he falls.
The underground society thingies.
I made a list of a few things. So literally, and here's the weird thing, is it's the exact same movie as Point Break, but you realize if it's a good story, it works. Because Point Break and Fast and the Furious are so popular. Mm-hmm. Think about like Dances with Wolves and Avatar. They're the same movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're both unbelievable movies.
Right.
It's like if it's a good story, it works, right?
Yeah.
All right. So a cop goes undercover into a world he knows nothing about and makes an extremely easy transition, even with the footage of them both trying to excel at racing and surfing but not being good at it.
Mm. Right.
Our introduction to the mysterious lawbreakers happened very early in the movie. In Fast and the Furious, we have four cars. In Point Break, we have four surfers, four ex-presidents. Brian and Johnny keep showing up at the hot girl's restaurant like a total creep. Anyone not as good looking as these two cops would have been called out immediately, and the cops would have been called and sent them away. Because they were complete creeps.
Yep.
Just literally showing up every day.
Around, yeah.
Both of them. The FBI and Johnny... Our FBI and Johnny and Brian think that our mysterious lawbreakers are the wrong crew of people at first. Hector and Tran, War Child's crew. Mm-hmm. Brian and Johnny both finally get the girl. First night after sleeping with her, the next morning is the bust of the bad guys.
Right. Right. God damn it.
And Paul Walker seems kind of late to his.
Yes, they're both late to their thing.
Yeah.
And even though the bad guys know that they are now cops, they both still go back to them.
Yeah.
They both still show back up and be like, hey, remember me?
Hey, we're friends, right?
Both Dom and Bodie are smart, but they make the mistake of one final job. Both jobs go wrong and people die. Should have never done it from the start.
Yep.
And they both have obnoxiously long scenes. The car race, supposed to take 10 seconds, took 2 minutes. Yeah. Skydive, supposed to take 90 seconds, took 4 minutes.
Yeah. 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
And of course, both of them aren't cops anymore. They should not be cops anymore and should probably be in jail for the stuff they made. It's literally the same movie.
I thought Paul Walker was going to throw his badge.
I know.
I literally thought that was in the movie, but it didn't happen.
It would have just right off the bridge or whatever the hell he was standing on.
Off screen, it did happen for me. But
Oh, man.
All right. Well, what do you think? Are we done? Should we wrap her up?
Let's
should we talk
this.
About the ratings? AJ, you've had a moment to collect yourself. You've watched it with a critical eye. What rating are you giving this movie? Original Fast and the Furious.
Original Fast and the Furious. You know what? It's really weird because it's so hard to explain because for some reason you love to revisit this because of how like it feels very, very dated in some aspects, like we're talking about with the technology.
Yeah, totally.
So it really brings you back to that. And there are parts of it that you're like, oh, the action. I remember these scenes. It's like I feel these scenes. Like I want to rewatch this. It's kind of, you know, you want to rewatch movies because you almost want them to go a little bit different way. You don't want to see like Jesse die, or you don't want to see somebody like make a mistake. You keep wanting to rewatch these movies, and I still want that. And I like seeking this movie out every now and again. I believe I was a 7.1.
7.2.
7.2.
Or sorry, 7.1. Yes.
7.1.
You're correct.
7.1 when I was opening up with this. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm the exact same place where I started. 7.1. I have not changed a bit on this movie, I don't think.
So you like Point Break 0.1 better?
Yes.
Okay, Sean, what about you, man?
What was I before?
You were a 6.9.
6.9. This movie's fun, man. Like it's so cheesy and so 2001, so 2000s. Like it's got like that techno shit is such an annoying thing, but it's such that era, and it's kind of the same with Point Break for me. It's just like, well, Keanu is Keanu, you know, like what can I say about it? It is the same movie. But dare I say, it does some things better than Point Break. And in certain areas, maybe even a little bit more entertaining, a little bit more well put together even, I might say. I'm not going better than Point Break, but I'm going better than my original review. And I'm going to go a 7.7.
7.7. That's beautiful. I totally agree with you guys. It's like a time capsule for me almost of an era that I lived. I was like right in that era, man. And it is actually this rewatch made me want to go back now. And I want to hit. I think I've only seen the second one and I haven't watched any of them. I'm ready to go through the whole catalog I'm so into this.
I agree with you.
It's a good movie. It's not bad. There's stuff that doesn't hold up, but I'm with AJ. I like this one slightly less. I like this point one less than I like Point Break. If I had to pick one, I'd pick Point Break since they are the same movie. So I am a 6.5.
Okay.
Nice.
Look at that, boys. Well, everybody, we're so damn glad you're here with us. We hope you enjoy the episode. Means the world to have you here. Tune in next Wednesday for a very special episode. Different than anything we've done. That's all we're going to tell you right now. We'll give you more details soon. And following that, we are going to keep up with the movies. It's probably fall time. I think it's my choice, and ooh, I'm almost positive I'm going to go Mighty Ducks. I'm telling you, like,
are
probably
we doing it?
I think we got it. It's hockey's starting back up,
baby.
So I think we'll do that. And we got to name off a few more of our Patreon members: Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Cale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, Daniel Skaggs, Emilio Perez, Skylar Brunson, Jordan Hooten, Brenna Meisner, Wiley Cox III, Janelle Lewis, Joseph Thomas, Dr. Daddy, Marshall G., Riker Garrison, Mitch Kavanaugh, Ryan Carlton, O. Pete, Sean Dixon, Dana Dane, Josh Miller, Macy and Connor. We freaking love you guys. So,
man,
AJ, take us out. Tell them what they can do to do stuff, to do us.
Thank you so much for listening, and do the things that you can do, whether it be rating us, reviewing us, giving us the thumbs up, giving us the full subscribe button on there and downloading those episodes. Other than that, make sure you're following along on all social media, facebook.com/confusedbreakfast, Instagram @confusedbreakfast, TikTok @confusedbreakfast, Twitter @confusedbfast, and of course, guys, we are on Patreon, so make sure you join us on there for so much additional content that you can get in on immediately.
Hit up our merch store, confusedbreakfast@bigcartel.com. Please, yeah, buy our shirts and coffee cups and stickers. Bye.
Links in the summary. Go do it. I think that does it for us. Goodbye, people. Via con Dios, bro. We should have done that on the last one.
Shit.
Bye. Staying.